Well, welcome here this morning. Welcome through this series. We did the promise of Christmas, the proclamation of Christmas, the purpose of Christmas. Now we're on the praise of Christmas. We sometimes think we use that word praise when things are going well. What if they aren't going well? What if there's great trauma going on in our lives? One of the lowest points in my life was when I was in seminary, actually, and just challenged on all sorts of fronts. I won't get into all of that, but part of my moving forward was learning to praise even at the bottom of the valley. God's worthy of praise all the time. And before circumstances had changed, before there was great victory, there was whatever else, I mean, there's other pieces to my moving forward, confessing of sin and really opening up to other people and letting them in my life, what was going on, letting them share my burdens, and etc. There's lots there, but part of it was praising God for who He was, even in the bottom of the valley. Before things change, before anything else, and then moving forward. The praise of Christmas, talking about this morning here. Worship and joy expressed. And this isn't happiness because I get things my way or that things are working out the way we want them to. This is a joy in the Lord that comes from inside that is supernatural, not natural. And it's worshiping God for who He is. He's always good. He's always glorious. He's always God. And He's always worthy of praise and glory and honor. And when we, who are created to worship, align with that and are worshiping Him out of who He is, for who He is, then it aligns us as well. And it's powerful to experience it. Well, we've already heard our scripture reading, but we'll read it again. We're in Luke chapter 2, if you want to look it up, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region, that is the region where the story just before it has happened, it says Caesar Augustus issued a decree, and everybody who was of the line and lineage of David needed to go to his hometown, Bethlehem, and register, and that included Joseph and Mary, and tell some of their story. In that same region, the region directly around Bethlehem is where it's talking about. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Just stop there for a moment. Praise comes from and is initiated by God. Comes from God. This is the angel of the Lord initiating what's going on here. And it's the glory of the Lord that shone around them. And praise is what responds. Praise results in this. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." Praise also overpowers fear. Perfect love casts out fear. We're not called to live by fear, but in faith. And we see lots of things going on in society, around our world. It can be really defeating. It can be really anxiety producing and fearful. Of what's going on. What are our kids, what are your grandkids going to face in the future? We're not called to live out of fear. We're called to live by faith. And praise overpowers fear. Takes those great big ominous fears. But when we praise God, the immensity of God, which is far more than our greatest fears, just shrinks them down to go, it's all right. He's got this. He's got this. And our faith is in Him. And we're not overwhelmed by those fears. The angel said to them, "Fear not. I mean, can you imagine, right? Tomorrow at work or school, and most of you are out of school now, you young rascals. Let's call the teachers and have an extra day of school, just for fun. But last week, say, when you're going about your normal schedule, work, school, whatever is normal for you, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appears, this isn't like cute little young children dressed up with fairy wings and stuff here. An angel of the Lord was a great warrior. I mean, every time in Scripture where an angel shows up, people are terrified, and rightly so. We would be startled. We'd probably fill our pants. It would be so terrifying. This would be crazy. Imagine just wherever you are, in your work or your school, an angel of the Lord showing up. It would be terrifying. Angels are incredible beings. And, yeah, I won't even go into that more, but it would have startled them incredibly. And then not only is he there, but the glory of the Lord shone around. This is night, and suddenly, what in the world's going on? It's bright in certain spots right around us. It would have startled them like crazy. He says, fear not. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, right, of the lineage of David. We've gone over that. He was fully a son of Mary, of the line of David. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's fully God. And that's the way it has to be. Otherwise, he can't be the Savior for all people. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude. That's a big number. That would have been really overwhelming. Of heavenly hosts. And what are they doing? They're complaining and they're bemoaning that the world is in that state that it's in. Now they're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, chaos and mayhem. No, we already do that naturally. He's bringing something different. He's bringing peace among those with whom he is pleased. This would have been absolutely more than startling. This would have been earth-shaking for these poor shepherds. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go. Let us go. Praise often follows times of leaving the ordinary to pursue or experience the extraordinary. Praise often follows times of leaving the ordinary to pursue or experience the extraordinary. What would have to happen in your workplace or in your school for you to change your schedule? God showed up in some way. Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, go somewhere. The shepherds respond, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They weren't dilly-dallying. They're going, if the Lord is in this, we don't want to miss it. I think we've lost a lot of that in North America. We belittle it. Well, I think the Lord's saying this to me, and then we kind of just slowly ooze that direction, maybe, maybe not. When they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, found it just as it was said. I read something on the internet this week. Shepherds were in wonder at the manger. The soldiers were in wonder at the cross. The disciples and others were in wonder at his resurrection. And one day all people will be in wonder at his return. absolute wonder and awe at who God really is. They go and they show up and they experience the extraordinary event. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. So here's what just happened to us out in the fields with the angels. Here's part of the story, and that's why we're here and telling everybody. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned back to work, glorifying and praising God. But they were doing something very different, right? That glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Praise is contagious, especially where there's obedience involved. Right? Angels show up, they're praising and glorifying God. But they also had a goal. Go experience the Savior for yourself element to it. And then they leave praising and glorifying God and telling everybody. I mean, this is shepherds. They're people of little status in the culture, in the ancient world. I don't think they would get great status in our world, our culture. But that's the first ones it's announced to as it's happening. It was pre-announced to Mary and Joseph and prophesied throughout many years. But at the time of the event, it's announced through the angels to shepherds of little status. And they praised. Praise often is carried by those of low status. They're just regular people, but they've experienced the extraordinary. They've experienced Almighty God. So when you experience Christ, encounter Him personally, then go. Go. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. This one who changes history, who changes everyone's future, if we will bow before Him. Psalm 118, 24 that was read for us earlier. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's not just get caught up in our own little agendas and whatever else is going on and problems. Step back and praise God. It's transformative. Immortal God comes so that mortal mankind can live eternally, right? Eternal, immortal God breaks into human history so that mortal, temporal people can live eternally. He conquers it. Conquers that great divide. He is worthy of praise. Glory to God. Peace on earth. Just praise God. It's transformative in the moment, but it's transformative for our lives. Those hundreds of years waiting, oh come, Emmanuel, is a longing. Jesus coming in history, He's coming personally. It changes everything. And they go away praising God and glorifying God. I want to tell a couple of stories illustrating praise in these different ways. Praise through the ordinary people. Praise follows times of leaving the ordinary to the extraordinary, being willing to go where God calls, experiencing Him firsthand, not secondhand, not just about Him. There was a converted Hindu, actually, if we go to the next slide, I should explain this first. There's a caste system. One more. There's a caste system in India that ranks people. And you can't break out of that in India. People will treat you like that whether you want them to or not. It's just where you're locked into society. The Brahmins are the highest, they're the priests, and they can get away with quite a bit of stuff. I can't say that next word, but they're the warriors or soldiers. And then you have the merchants and businessmen. And then you have the shudras, the common laborers, musicians, dancers. You're here to serve everybody else, and no one is here to serve you kind of people. The lowest of the low in the society. This is written by one of the lowest of low, much like the shepherds. It's a Hindu convert, converted to Christianity, and he gave the following address to a number of his fellow countrymen of all different castes. He says, "I am by birth an insignificant and contemptible caste, so low that if a Brahmin should chance to touch me," right, if they just brushed together in a busy marketplace somewhere, "that Brahmin would have to go bathe in the Ganges River for the purpose of purification. And yet God has been pleased to call me not merely to the knowledge of the gospel, but to the high office of teaching it to others. My friends, do you know the reason of God's conduct? It is this. If God had selected one of you learned Brahmins and made you the preacher, when you were successful in making converts, bystanders would have said, it was the amazing learning of the Brahmin and his great weight of character that were the cause. But now, when anyone is converted by my instrumentality, or God through me, no one thinks of ascribing any praise to me. And God, as is his due, has all the glory." And he delights in that. Delights that he didn't take him and move him up to the highest caste, but he called him anyways to a great ministry where he doesn't get praise as a higher caste. But God rightly gets the praise. And he rejoices in that. He celebrates it. There was a pastor years ago, British minister, Pastor W.E. Sangster. He began to lose his voice. This is a great preacher. He's losing his voice and his mobility in the mid-1950s. He had a disease that caused progressive muscular atrophy. He recognized the end was near. He's dying. So he threw himself into writing and praying. In the midst of his suffering, he pleaded, "Let me stay in the struggle, Lord. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me just a small regiment to lead." He still wants to lead people closer to Christ with his very last amounts of energy and breath. Sangster's voice eventually failed completely, and his legs became useless. On Easter morning, just a few weeks before he died, he took a pen and shakily wrote a letter to his daughter. In it, he said this: "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." Do we want to shout? Do we want to shout? Do we know our voice is there so we can bring praise to God and influence others? Praise is contagious. We praise God. Some who hear might actually go and discover that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, angels praised, and the shepherds caught it. They went and they explored. They experienced Jesus for themselves. How terrible to have a voice and not want to shout. And yet we're so timid. We're so caught up with our fears. Well, what if the response, if I praise God, what might somebody, again, turn and praise? Sometimes we've got to praise quite a while privately before we break into public praise. But we need to experience the risen Christ. The one who came, broke into history, conquered sin and death, experiencing him personally and powerfully, and then we result in praise, and it's not something we have to do, It's something we get to do. Johann Bach had that kind of attitude. It's something we get to do. Johann Sebastian Bach, the great composer, said all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub. And it's just a bunch of noise. He headed all of his compositions with J.J. That's not his initials. That's the initials for Jesus Juva, which means Jesus help me. He knew he needed Jesus. And he ended them with S.D.G., the initials for Sole Dei Gratia, which means to God alone be the glory. He didn't need the accolades. He worked hard for God's glory. He was content to be a praiser and not the recipient of praise. He used his voice and his hand and everything he was to bring praise to God. Another final story here. R.C. Chapman was a devout Christian, was asked how he was feeling one day. And his response was similar to this. He says, "I am very burdened today." And the guy talking to him who asked, he says, "Well, how you said that doesn't reflect what you actually said. Is that really true?" And he says, "Yes, indeed, this morning I am very burdened. But let me explain further." He says, "It's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude." Seeing the puzzled look, or the continued puzzled look on his friend, Chapman added with a smile, "I'm referring to Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation, Selah." And this describes my current condition, he says. In that verse, the Father of Heaven reminds me that daily he loads us with benefits. It's easy to forget at Christmas. We get, "Oh, this is what I want. Or this is the challenges I'm facing." It's easy to forget. Wow, are we wildly blessed. Loaded up. Like overloaded. It's like the little utility trailer I had when I pulled in and I thought I'd get a load of gravel. And that great big bucket dropped the load and crushed my springs and I dragged my trailer out of there. That's the picture of God's blessings in our lives. Really? Really? What do we have to complain about? We can take our burdens to God, absolutely. Share them with each other. We carry them with each other. But we are wildly blessed. Wildly blessed. And it should be easy for us as believers to praise God. Who loadeth us. It's the praise of Christmas that flows here. The angels announce it. They model it. They praise God and glorify Him. The shepherds do likewise after encountering the Christ. Maybe our praise is hindered because we're not actually encountering Christ. We're just going through the motions. Could it be we're just doing something because it's tradition? Because we're used to it. Maybe you're here today because your parents make you come. But there's no real praise in your own heart because you're not experiencing the Christ. God comes with the same announcement today. Glory to God in the highest and peace on whom He is pleased. Maybe there's no peace in our hearts. Maybe there's nothing to praise Him. Maybe there is. Maybe we're just lost it for a while. It's people of faith who He's pleased in. Our condemnation is gone. He's taken it upon Himself. We're free. We're at peace with God. And we can praise Him. The announcement has come. Have you, will you, go and meet Him personally? When you meet him, praise will erupt, and others too will hear and wonder, and some will want to meet him as well. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, oh God, we're reminded by the angels and by the shepherds how worthy of praise you are. You did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And even before you did that, God, you are worthy of praise and glory and honor. And out of that character, you do this mighty act, absolutely impossible for any of us to do, to gain peace, forgiveness, right relationship with you, what you have covered, the multitude of sin. Washed us white as snow, and we praise you, God. We receive your gift. I pray you'd reveal to each of us what hinders us. We've heard this message, not directly from the angels, but through your word and through your spirit. May we go and encounter you simply and humbly. Have a God confidence that even through us, maybe the lowest of society, we view ourselves, even through those, our praise can help someone else come to know you and praise you in as well. God, work through us and work in us for your glory, and lead many more to a saving knowledge of you, Jesus, that you again would receive the praise and the glory. Amen.